This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We are excited, as always, to 9:35 on a Thursday, speak to our weekly guest in this spot, Action Network. You can definitely download the free Action Network app. Games are back. The NBA is back tonight. MLB. Back in full force, Darren Revelle of the Action Network joining us on the show. Darren, I'm looking at your Twitter timeline. Seth said he's heard you tell this story before, but I don't know that I've heard it, but it's relevant because we're in Houston. How did Jeff Bagwell wind up at your bar mitzvah?
So a year before, one of my friends had Mickey Mantle at his bar mitzvah. It was really like, it was his dad's party. Like, it was his bar mitzvah, but it was his dad's party, really. Like, it was for his dad. It was really annoying. Like, who knew something, you know? But Mickey Mantle was a big deal. So I said to my dad, I need a baseball player at my bar mitzvah. My dad is like, we're going to spend some money on the party, but you know what? I don't think we're going to be able to afford who you want. And at the time, I had been a minor league guy. I had a lot of pride in like telling people who I thought was going to be big next. So there were a bunch of players. I gave my dad three players. I gave my dad Jeff Bagwell, who had hit, I think, 30 home runs with the New Britain Red Sox the year before, was just traded for Larry Anderson to the Astros from the Red Sox. I gave him Alan Zinter and Brooke Fordyce, which are two catchers related to the Mets, because I was a Mets fan. Well, what happened was Bagwell, made the team in 91, and he was doing really well. And in May, my dad called the Astros and said, listen, the Astros are playing the Mets. We have a bar mitzvah in Long Island. It's a night game. You think we could get Jeff Bagwell to the bar mitzvah, 1 o'clock party, sign a couple autographs, and then get him back to Shea Stadium? And my dad met Jeff the night before, gave him his $400 check. He signed about 50 bats, 300 autographs, and other things. So I'm not sure Jeff is fond of it, but so the funny thing is when we didn't really stay in touch, but when Roger Clemens was playing his last game in Houston, I went to the clubhouse because I was doing something on Clemens. And I said to Bagwell, I'm like, hey, you went to my bar mitzvah, so this and that. He's like, well, I only went to one. That was in Long Island.
You know what, Darren? I think that I'm sorry. Were you finished, or was it?
That's pretty much, yeah. Well, and then when he got into the Hall of Fame, he signed one of those yellow postcards with the plaque from your bar mitzvah to Cooperstown, which is pretty cool.
That's cool.
Actually, there's one part of the story that I didn't tell, which is really quick, but every one of my bar mitzvah was like, how is Daryl Strawberry or Doc Gooden not here? like those are, and they're crumpling up their Bagwell autograph. And, little do they know, he's the one who made the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, those three. He was the one who made the Hall of Fame. That's wild. Yeah. That's wild.
It's a nice part of my legacy when they say, yeah, Darren Revelle is a kid. He was meant to do what he did,
Darren, yeah. This is as you're telling me this story, I feel like this is right up your alley. I have an idea for you in terms of a list you can compile.
Oh no!
Now that you're with the Action Network, I don't know if it's right up your alley anymore. I feel like you know back when you were writing exclusively about the business of sports, I think. But honestly, right. I've always been impressed by there's a sweet spot when it comes to hiring an athlete to come to an event. By far the most bang for your buck you'll get, depending on what it is when you have a guy who was a late round draft pick or a rookie free agent, but yeah. who has had some success in his rookie year or his second year. Because those guys, they'll come out and they'll do appearances for not that much money. But
here's the other thing. Some of it is too for their ego. Like LeBron yeah. doesn't need to show up at a bar mitzvah for ego, you know.
Right.
You know, it is kind of like a, wow, someone wanted me. And it was maybe, you know, that was maybe Jeff's first. I mean, that could have been his first autograph signing. I'll post the picture later. But so yesterday he was doing a signing for TriStar, who has the exclusive with him. And I showed them, I still, obviously, because I'm a hoarder, I have the stack of pictures he signed in my house from 91. And the Astros publicity photo looks like a mugshot. It looks like he has a black eye. And it's amazing. It's amazing.
How was he in terms of like his personality and interaction and everything when he was at the party?
Very quiet.
Yeah.
He was very, versus a Strawberry or a Gooden or a Gary Carter. I mean, he was signing autographs. He was very quiet. I think it's a tough position to put a 23-year-old into, but I remember that he was shy.
Yeah, it's a weird thing when you're in your early 20s, you're not even really a full-grown man yet, and you're put in this position where you feel like there's expectations of you, and you don't exactly, it's very uncomfortable. You're being put on display in a bunch of, and then the kids themselves, you're trying to talk to the kids, but they're nervous to be talking to a ball player. But the idea I had for you, and this would actually be good for you to come up with the TriStar guys, like the Q rating of guys like that. Like I was at an autograph signing once with DJ Swearinger when he was just coming off of a promising rookie year, you know, and DJ's like a flashy guy. Like there's a lot of intrigue with him. And it was just, I wasn't there signing autographs. I just happened to be there at this event. And there were like 200 people lined up to get a DJ Swearinger autograph. And I would imagine
because it was $49.
Yeah. Yeah. And it wasn't a TriStar thing, but those were people that were just flat out excited to see this young Texan player. I'm trying to get some of these younger Texans players hired right now by various businesses by telling them via radio, go out and get your Zach Cunninghams of the world and whatnot. Guys that haven't gotten their first big contract yet. There's value there.
By the way, I think I was at the most expensive rookie signing ever. I think it was in Houston during the Super Bowl. Would Zeke Elliott? When was the Super Bowl in Houston?
Yeah, that was Zeke Elliott's rookie year. It was in the Super Bowl. It was the 2016 season, 2017 Super Bowl.
So the Galleria Mall had Zeke Elliott, and it was $350 a cig.
Ooh,
And Guy Fieri was online.
Was online?
Yeah.
Is he a big Cowboy fan?
Yeah.
No, he's a Raiders fan, but I guess he was a Zeke. Yeah. I don't know, but yeah, they had some sort of conversation about
350.
$350.
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
Because at first I thought you were going to say LeBron James, because LeBron James had a big party the first time Houston had a Super Bowl back in 2003.
Was
he? Was that his rookie year? That was his rookie year.
2003 was his rookie year. I remember the line in New York City when the LeBron ones came out at midnight. At midnight, that was before Apple lines. So the only thing equivalent that I've ever seen to that was like a Black Friday line. But before that, there were not lines for even Jordans in 2003 in the way that it became. So like I remember being in New York City and the line for the LeBrons was, you know, 500 deep.
Yeah, crazy, crazy.
It's amazing. It's amazing he lived up to the most hyped athlete ever, and he lived up to it. I mean, yeah. I don't think he gets enough credit for that.
And continues to this day. I mean, he plays tonight, and everybody's all psyched about it. So we get basketball back tonight, Darren. And
what? I feel like Darren's taking a shot at Freddie Adu.
Right there. The soccer player.
Yeah.
Well, I was the first one to call him a bust. That was my.
That's right.
Were you? Oh, really?
Oh, wow. I remember that.
I thought you somehow knew that.
No. That's oh my, oh my god! I have such a talent for angering people. Like you go into a whole sector. You're like people in the soccer world don't earn.
I called him a bust very, very, very early.
Was he like 16?
A lot of people got mad at me. This is before Twitter, but I have the Twitter evidence. And I remember I showed up to when he signed with like an MLS team or something, you know, at the end. And there were not some kind words exchanged. But yeah, no, I was first on the Freddie Adu bus train.
Where is he now?
He's still trying to make it in MLS, at least as of last year.
Okay, yeah. All right.
I got to text you the my first Freddie Adu is a bust article.
Please do, please. I remember.
Well, this
that
is a
now.
Darren. Was he like 19 years old? I guess that's the thing.
He was 16. because the buzz started at 14.
Yeah.
So by 16, I had already made my decision.
He's just a kid. He's just a kid.
I definitely got he's just a kid.
I'll bet. So Darren, we're starting to get these sports trickling back into our lives here. Of course, baseball had some issues over the weekend. I'm curious. I want to bounce this off you from a wagering perspective. I'm looking at odds. I'm not sure what outlet it is. I get them in my email from a bunch of them throughout the week, but I thought these would be interesting ones to bounce off of you, given what's going on with the Marlins and
my bookie.
Was it my bookie? Okay, gotcha.
No, I'm just saying, not mybookie.com, my/. Oh, your odds are from your bookie.
Mine are from my space bookie. Lowercase m, lowercase b. Yes, absolutely. Right. Will there be a World Series in 2020? Yes, is a very healthy favorite right now at -300. What are your thoughts on that, given everything that's gone on this week with the Marlins and around baseball?
I actually think there will be, but they got really lucky. Because if the Phillies, first of all, the idea that they had a 113-page handbook and that there was nothing to account for, like, what happens if 10 players got corona? Like, that was not in 113 pages. I called up baseball and I'm like, I'm just making sure. And they're like, we'll let you know if it was in there. I'm like, okay, it wasn't. Thanks. But then the fact that it relies on the Phillies to not play the Marlins the next day, it's crazy how this thing kind of, I think we've gotten saved by it, but it was like, I think by the, you know, we got saved here. I think we'll get through the season now.
Interesting. Yeah, it's. I think Darren. I thought that I'm with you. The protocols when they came out, I go, well, they're pretty loose here. You know, not very clear on some things. Do you think that sometimes the lack of clarity in there is so that they can have as much latitude as possible to keep the season alive? Like, man, we need this revenue to come in. If we start getting specific with things, then we're being held to some sort of standard, as opposed to if they're not specific about it, then they can just kind of do what they're doing, which is
I don't think the players could get together before a game and be like, all right, let's play.
Yeah. Right.
You know, I mean, I just don't think, I agree with you that sometimes that's an excuse. And sometimes that's not even an excuse. It's something that's helpful, especially if a leaked document is going to be leaked. But I don't think in any scenario the players should be deciding basically the fate of the league.
Yeah.
Right, and I wonder, based on what you've seen from baseball and basketball in varying levels of preparedness, Major League Soccer, European Soccer. How do you feel? Like, what's your gut feel on how the NFL is doing it so far? Do they have their ducks in a row, or are you anticipating sloppiness?
No.
Okay.
All I've seen from the NFL is arrogance. I haven't seen anything that, and I'm still really wondering about those face shields. I mean, they're trying out these Corona shields that you know, someone's actually going to die from because they won't be able to breathe.
Well, that's I wonder because and Sean, note to ourselves: next time we have Maldonado, the catcher for the Astros, on a Zoom call, he started off in the first game wearing a plexiglass shield over his catcher's mask, and he'd gotten rid of it by the second game. And he was wearing a mask also, you know, like he was trying to take a lot of precautions because obviously umpires and catchers are at the most risk of exposure. And I don't know. I mean, that's a catcher in an air conditioned environment. I don't know what's going to happen to football players trying to play outdoors in September.
Yeah, that doesn't seem like it's going to work. And just, there's always a lag in testing and when someone has it, and like, you can't get around that. And so I do wonder if they're going to regret, you know, not having a bubble scenario. And, you know, you look at, what happened to Lou Williams and it's like, okay, the NFL players can basically go where they want to go out in game week. I mean, obviously, like, don't do this and you'll be penalized, and we've talked about this, but like, going out of the bubble is a lot different than being back in your community.
Yeah, Darren,
You know what we need to do, Sean?
What's that?
We need to establish an antibody club where, like, NFL players can go or Major League Baseball players can go, and any of the patrons there have tested positive for the antibodies.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
The antibody club, including women.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, they can go and just have consort and meet people and do whatever they want to do with people.
Yeah.
Just like they would any normal bar or something. It's just that everybody's tested out and they're safe for athletic competition.
So
and then if you want to come into the antibody club, but you don't have the antibodies, we'll sell you the convalescent plasma. And then later you could come back.
Yeah, this is like a very sanitary version of Clockwork Orange.
Same exact thing.
Yeah,
exactly.
Darren Revelle, Action Network. Download the free Action Network app. We're getting NBA back tonight. We've had baseball back for a week. Football will be here soon enough, we hope. And Darren, we always appreciate the time, man, and appreciate the stories. Thank you.
Despite what people might say, I'm happy that sports are back because I've talked about COVID-19 and some negative things. I'm not actually rooting for sports to not come back. Okay.
Yeah. No. We've been watching. We've been watching the Twitter fires burn.
Yes. Darren, I'm exhausted.
I can only imagine. Darren, we always appreciate the time. We'll talk to you
soon.
Take care. All right. You too. See you, Darren Revelle, joining us on the show.
He wrote an article calling Freddie Adu a bust when he's 16. That's
Darren Revelle is in. He is an Olympic level bleepster, man.
He really is, man. It's funny sometimes you see the reactions he elicits from people. You know, sometimes for almost nothing at all, it's just their people are so triggered and they expect to be triggered by him that he's just got an amazing ability to tweak people.
It's uncanny.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.